The Cross and Its Shadow by Stephen N. Haskell, narrated by Timothy Turner. Chapter 45. Issachar. Issachar was the ninth son of Jacob, and the fifth son of Leah, the first wife. Of Issachar, as an individual, the Bible is silent after recording his birth. Of his associations with his brethren, we know nothing, but the old father's dying blessing reveals the history of Issachar's life of self-sacrifice and burden-bearing, and his meek and quiet spirit. Jacob likens him to the patient ass or donkey, bearing two such heavy burdens that he couches down beneath them. The fact that this is not a common animal, but a strong one, indicates the strength of Issachar's character. Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. Then the patriarch reveals the secret of Issachar's self-sacrificing life by giving the motive that actuated him in carrying the double burdens. He saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Many lose the blessing by murmuring and complaining when they are required to carry double burdens, but Issachar was sustained by the thought of the pleasant land in store, and the rest by and by. The same hope will sustain burden-bearers at the present day. In the Battle of Megiddo, we find Issachar true to the character portrayed in Jacob's dying blessing. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. From the words of Deborah, it would seem that Issachar bore the burden of the battle, even more than Barak. The same characteristic is given of Issachar, when all the tribes gathered to crown David king of Israel. Issachar had clear discernment. The record states the children of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. They represented men that bore heavy responsibilities, pillars in the cause of God. They were not like Zebulun, expert warriors, ready to rush impulsively into the fiercest of the fight on a moment's notice, but they were able to plan the battle and to carry the burden of the work. It takes all the different phases of Christian character to represent the perfect character of Christ. The burden-bearer fills as important a place in the work of God as the kingly Judah or the Levitical teacher. There will be 12,000 of each class in that wonderful company, the 144,000, which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. The children of Issachar were a laborious, hardy, valiant tribe, patient in labor, and invincible in war. They were valiant men of might. They possessed one of the richest portions of Palestine. It was bounded on the east by the river Jordan, on the north by Zebulun, and on the south by the half-tribe of Manasseh. Many places noted in sacred history were within the borders of Issachar. It was there that the great victory of Barak and Deborah was won in Taanach, by the waters of Megiddo. In Shunem was the residence of the noble woman, who when she found her house was not large enough to entertain Elisha, the holy man of God, built an additional room and furnished it that she might have the privilege of his association in her home. By the rich blessings that came into her life, she realized the truthfulness of the words, "Inasmuch as ye have done it, unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." It was at the gate of the city of Nain, in the borders of Issachar, that the Savior's words, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise," brought life and health into the dead body of the man whom his friends were carrying to the tomb. The same territory that was hallowed by the footsteps of the Savior and the prophets of God also witnessed the power of the devil. Endor, in the land of Issachar, was where Saul committed the crowning act of his life by consulting the witch, and thus took himself entirely out of the hands of God and became a prey of the devil. Saul was slain because he asked counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. Those who follow the same course today will eventually meet the same fate. They will die spiritually and be eternally separated from the Lord. Jezreel, situated in the fertile plain of Esdraelon, was the scene of the wicked murder of Naboth, in the streets of the same city, Dogs ate the flesh of Jezebel. Tola, under whose rule of 23 years Israel had rest, was of the tribe of Issachar. Baasha, who ruled over the northern kingdom 24 years, was an Issacharite. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. Elah, his son, followed in his footsteps, and was slain by Zimri, and the kingly power passed out of the hands of the tribe of Issachar. Issachar was the center of Jezebel's power, and the Baal worship introduced by her exerted an influence long after her death. About 5 years before Issachar was carried captive into Assyria by Shalmaneser, Hezekiah celebrated his great Passover at Jerusalem. The tribe of Issachar had so far departed from the true worship that they had forgotten to make the necessary purifications. Yet some of them responded to the invitation and went to the feast, though ceremonially unfit to partake of it. Hezekiah was in close enough touch with the Lord to discern that the desire in the heart to serve God was of more consequence than forms and ceremonies. He allowed them to eat of the Passover, and as they partook of it, he offered the following prayer: "The good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary, and the Lord, who seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart, hearken to the prayer of the king, and heal the people."